Want to be a part of the conversation? Then let us know on the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. This is Locked and Loaded with Rick Munn on TNT.
Yes, yes, yes. It's Thursday, the 20th. Oh, man. I actually, my eyesight's getting so bad. I used to have to write. I should have wrote this down. The 20th of March, 2024. Are you having fun out there? Are you being entertained by the one and only TNT? I want to believe that you are, because there's a lot of people sitting, listening in on all the live streams at the minute, and of course, inhabiting our live chat. And of course, the unseen, the unknowns who have downloaded the app all across the world and are tuning in as per right now. Get a lot of nice messages on the emails, rickmunn@tntradio.live. Just want to give a shout out to someone that messaged me yesterday. I think her name was Julie from Newcastle. Julie, she had commented on my words the other day about Palestinian refugees and I should take some into my house and stop sitting on the fence. I think she picked me up a little bit wrong. I was referring to the borders being open to so-called Ukrainian and Albanian refugees fleeing for war when there isn't really any war for many of them to actually flee from. I was saying, if they're being allowed into the country, then why aren't we letting Palestinians in who are under genuine threat of genocide and starvation? I wasn't advocating that we open the borders and bring them all into the country. I believe the Irish people need to be looked after first and foremost, and the UK people and the Australian people. And then if we have a capacity and we have the infrastructure to support other people in genuine need of aid and support coming in from other parts of the world, then we should do that. I was not saying we should open the floodgates and bring more people in, and certainly not into our own homes. So I hope that clears that up. I don't know if you're listening or not, Julie, but I thought I'd rather say that than type it out. I hate typing, and it would have took me forever to type that message out to you. So I hope that clears that issue up. Coming up in this hour, we have Neil McAvoy. He's a proud Welshman, the leader of Propel's Wales Party. And Joe Allen will be joining me at the top of the hour, towards the top of the hour, to talk about transhumanism and AI. He's wrote a fantastic book on it called Dark Eon. He's been touring around America promoting that as well. He's a very great authority on that particular subject. Before Basil comes back on to talk about some UK-centric news headlines, Australia, sadly, you guys are really under the cosh again when it comes to digital ID. I think this is something that needs to be brought up and addressed. So Malcolm Roberts put a post up last night to say that the digital ID for Australia will change the lives of every Australian, and it will change them for the worse. So as much as the government is attempting to downplay the importance of introducing a single central digital ID for all Australians, the truth is that legislation is the most significant that he has encountered during his time in the Senate. So he's obviously sounding the alarm about this and has been doing his level best to resist this, along with a handful of other Australian politicians. But the government knows digital ID will be compulsory by the device of preventing access to government services, banking services, air travel, and major purchases for any Aussie that does not have digital ID. And it smacks a little bit of the coercion that was brought in around the COVID jabs. Now we're hearing, oh, they were never mandatory. We didn't force anybody to get them. But by telling people you can't work and you can't travel and you can't support your family unless you get this, that is coercion. That is coercion of the highest order, and it's bullying and it's intimidation. So the same probably will apply, the same tactic will apply with the digital ID. So for example, if I resist the digital IDs, I'm an Australian citizen, they'll say, well, Rick, it's not compulsory. You can just stick with your old ID if you want to. There's no pressure on you to do this until I try maybe and travel internationally or domestically by plane, or I want to open a new bank account, or I want to do this, or I want to do that. And they say, sorry, that's not possible without digital ID. So again, that old strategy of coercion will be brought into play very much with that. And of course, Malcolm also points out that huge data files that contain every website you have visited, every post you make on social media, everything you've ever bought online will be available. Keywords scanned from conversations overheard by Siri and Alexa in your home are now unmasked as well. Listen, I don't know about you people, but If you've got a little box in your house called Alexa or Siri and you're talking to it, okay, please stop, right? Get off your ass and switch the TV channel yourself. Don't say, Siri, bring me up TNT radio. Just get up and tune into it yourself. Siri, what's the weather like today? Get up and look out the window or do something. For crying out loud, stop talking to boxes in the corner of your room that are effectively just listening devices and data harvesting devices for big tech. Come on, people, catch a grip out there. So look forward to Tech Giants asking for your digital ID as a requirement of using their service. Also, and in summary, Malcolm says there will be no escape from the digital ID, a little bit like John Ruddock saying earlier on in that little news break before we came on here, that politics will find you. You have to be interested in politics these days, because if you're not, it's going to come and get you. Shades of the COVID narrative as well. You remember, if you're unjabbed, the virus will find you. It will find you wherever you are hiding and it will kill you. Well, guess what? It didn't. I don't know if anybody that didn't get jabbed that regrets it. Find me one person, just one person, that didn't take that injection and says, you know what? I wish I'd have took those six jabs. I really wish I had took those six jabs. They don't exist. But flip it around the other way, you might find it's a different story altogether. So hopefully that's enlightened some of you good folk out there. We're going to bring Basil back on again and look at some more domestic headlines here. And yeah, I've plenty to talk about while we reconnect with him. So don't fear. Basil will be here on TNT, Today's News Talk.
Your voice heard here.
The government needs to step up and do its job.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay. Basil, political editor extraordinaire and old sparring partner of mine. What's on the old news front today? Breaking.
The King. Oh. King Charles III. You don't often hear me say that name. He is stressing the importance of acts of friendship. I know what a royalist you are, Rick. The King is due to stress the importance of acts of friendship, especially in time of need. In his first public remarks since the Princess of Wales's cancer diagnosis, this is a personal Easter message, which Charles has pre-recorded and which will be broadcast in his absence today at the Royal Maundy Thursday service in Westminster Cathedral.
Okay.
Worcester Cathedral. He will Worcester say how Cathedral. Jesus Christ himself set an example of how we should serve and care for each other, and how as a nation we need and benefit greatly from those who extend the hand of friendship to us, especially in a time of need. Well, he is the Fidei Defensor, the defender of the faith, and head of the Church of England. So I'm surprised that he's actually referencing Jesus Christ in an Easter message.
Shocking. Especially if he was to give that Easter message in London at the minute, he'd be doing it under Ramadan lights. That's another bone of contention at the minute. Sadiq Khan's come under a lot of flack for lighting up London with Ramadan lights. I believe they were funded by a very wealthy Muslim benefactor. That's who's actually putting up the money for this. So technically speaking, if Charles was to take a walk through the capital at the minute, delivering an Easter message about love and Jesus Christ, it would be done under the old crescents and stars and Ramadan lighting funded by Sadiq Khan's mates. That's quite ironic, isn't it?
Yes, the event that Camilla is at today, the Maundy service, goes back to the 4th century. I remember being taught about it in school myself a long, long, long time ago. The Lord High Almoner, the Bishop of Worcester, John Ing, will accompany the Queen, no longer the Queen Consort, the Queen these days, Rick. And he told BBC Radio Hereford yesterday, it's an occasion of great pomp and ceremony, but at the same time, at its heart, lies the words with which the service begins, which I say, a new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. It is an act of service, and the monarch comes here to honour those who have given years of Christian service to the church and community. I can remember when these kind of things were sort of at the heart of the Easter message and sort of, you know, very much the foundation of the Christian civilization in which we live. Now they seem only a few decades later, really, to be sort of, historical artifacts, Rick. But, in this particular case, I must admit, I'm glad to see it carrying on.
Yeah, and here's the thing too, Basil. I mean, it's a little bit of common sense. To love one another, to do unto others as they would do unto you. If everybody practiced that, we wouldn't have any problems in the world right now. The problem is Charles can sit as the so-called defender of the faith and the so-called head of the Church of England, but what he practices is not what he's preaching. So while he's talking about acts of love and friendship, when you saw him in his coronation with his, £50 million crown on and his golden scepter, stolen jewels from Africa most of the time, and pontificating about how the people are going through a cost of living crisis, that's not something that he's experiencing. And even to show basic, never mind giving away all his jewels and giving away all his estates, the guy is an ignoramus. The guy is a nasty, horrible piece of work. If you see him, did you see him whenever he was signing the himself in the beginning? Get there. The guy can't even treat one person with a little bit of common decency and respect. So to hear him pontificating about the message of Christ and recording a message in Camilla banging on about a 4,000-year-old sermon or whatever it is, walk the walk. Stop talking the talk. Start by giving away some of those billions that you've accumulated and you're fleecing in your duchies here and your duchies there. I think actions would definitely speak louder than words in this case, Basil, would you agree? I'm a little bit fired up. It grinds my gears, man. It grinds my gears.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I'm more concerned about his repeated trips to Davos. He was an environmentalist, back in the 1970s, and of course, famously ridiculed for talking to plants. Mm-hmm. But he's been sort of captured by the whole climate crisis lobby, basically, although that doesn't stop him flying around in a private jet, of course, and indeed having somebody putting his toothpaste on his toothbrush for him. So, yes, Charles has led a very pampered life and now seems to be not always acting in the interest of the British people. That's the key thing. The whole Davos agenda is, of course, decidedly globalist and often results in the impoverishment of the people that he's supposed to be representing. So, he could do with rolling his sleeves up and being, a bit more like some of the great kings of England in the past, who do not have a divine right to rule anymore, but who govern by consent and who are supposed to dedicate their lives to the service of the people. Charles's life, well, we have to ask ourselves, what it's all really been for. Spent 50 years waiting to get the top job, and now he's ill, and it might all be over very, very quickly. Mm-hmm.
I can remember as a young lad, I used to see footage of Charles when he was Prince Charles at the time, dandering through the countryside of the Scottish Highlands with his tartans on and his crooked shepherd's crook, probably a collie dog bouncing along, draping himself over a gate somewhere, pontificating about the environment. At the time, that was all harmless, Basil. That was all harmless stuff coming from him. And it was like, oh, bless him. He likes to talk to the flowers and hug trees. Let him crack on with it. How little did we know that that green agenda would be pushed so mercilessly and so ruthlessly at the minute. And even, listening to people talking about these ULEZ schemes that are coming in to save the environment, to clean up the air quality, decarbonization, carbon allowances, carbon taxes coming in, social credit based on the amount of CO2 you're emitting. Who would have thought that him and his dog up in the Scottish Highlands back in the 70s and 80s would morph into such a green beast that we're dealing with right now?
Absolutely. I mean, the way the environmental agenda has been completely hijacked effectively by the carbon obsessives has been a great disservice to everybody. What is a more pressing environmental concern than flooding the rivers with sewage? And I keep coming back to it, the whole Thames water scandal, but that's the kind of thing that the King of England should be shouting about from the rooftops. He's supposed to defend the land, and he's completely failing to do so. If he wants to intervene on something, that's what he should be standing up and talking about, quite frankly. You know, yeah. Acts of kindness, great, but you know, it's an abdication, frankly, of his responsibilities.
Yeah, yeah, indeed it is. So yeah, whatever he's doing over Easter, I don't know what he's up to, but that message, no doubt, he recorded it. It's going to be broadcast out. I'll take anything that man says with a hefty pinch of Maldon sea salt. That's a little recommendation for you people out there. If you're going to eat salt, Maldon sea salt, absolutely fantastic, little pyramid-sized crystals of salt, and I love salt. And by the way, the Bible says salt is good. So don't listen to the doctors. Take loads of it on your food. I take loads of salt, and my blood pressure is just fine. Thank you very much. But don't take your medical advice from me. What do I know? I'm just an Irishman with a penchant for salt. But anyway, a little bit random way to end that one, Basil. But many, many thanks to you as always for the input right there. You'll be back in the next hour, I believe, with James Freeman. And of course, we'll be talking again tomorrow. That's the wonderful Basil Valentine. We've got to take a pause. Be back with Neil McAvoy from Wales. So don't go away. Stay tuned for more here on TNT, today's news talk.
TNT's Jason Olborn.
What that sneaky World Health Organization, that private organization linked to the United Nations, is planning to do to take away yours and my medical sovereignty. Or pretending that they're not going to, of course, because it just so happens that they have got the ability to look into a crystal ball, see around corners, and tell us that there is yet another virus or disease or sickness coming for us, and the only way that we survive it is to do exactly what Tedros tells us to do, even though the man's not even a doctor. Can't even tell his own Ethiopian country on three separate occasions, goodness me, that they have had a cholera outbreak. Cholera characterized by acute watery diarrhea that, if not diagnosed correctly, can result in death. Well, on three occasions, Tedros's answer was, we didn't have good enough testing or testing available, so we didn't really know that it was cholera. That's the guy who's leading the world.
Weekends with Jason Olborn on today's News Talk, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. Without CO2, the world stops breathing. CO2 sustains all life on Earth. Government, the WEF, and the elite believe humans are the carbon they really want to be rid of. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Yes, TNT, today's News Talk. We're going to be talking right now with the one and only Neil McAvoy. This is his second appearance on TNT, I believe, certainly second time talking with me. Neil is the leader of Propel Wales, a grassroots political party who are campaigning for individual, community, and national sovereignty for Wales. Welcome back, Neil. How's life been treating you or abusing you since the last time we spoke?
Oh, diolch yn fawr, Rick. Thank you very much in Welsh, that is. Really well. Enjoying life. Got my, don't know if you can see it, Cymru Rydd t-shirt on, which is, in Welsh, that means free Wales, which is what we're all about, really. And we've been out campaigning on the streets again. It's actually a council by-election in Cardiff, so that's given us a bit of a focus locally. So just going out, enjoying ourselves, having a pint after canvassing and after delivering, which is always nice. The candidate owns a bar down there, so it's quite an entertaining campaign.
Listen, I'm not going to be funny here, but I mean, are you in this for Wales? Or are you in this for the pub? I mean, come on, be honest with your potential electorate. Is it all about the beer or is it really about free Wales? Come on, give us it straight.
Well, it's a good question, actually, mate. But
it's got to be a bit of both, though, doesn't it? But realistic, listen, it's got to be a bit of both. I'm talking to a lot of people at the minute, Neil. And they're trying to stand as independent candidates in elections. They're doing it on a voluntary basis. They're doing it with no funding or no backers from any major political parties. So you have to have a passion in there, and you have to have it has to be a labor of love, but it also has to be fun, and it has to be something that you engage in and enjoy. So I was being a little bit tongue in cheek there, but of course you've got to have fun along the way, because you're not getting any other joy anywhere else that you look at the minute when you look at the state that Wales is in. So you've got to try and make it as enjoyable as possible.
Yeah, I mean, we're being called exclusive as well by the, I suppose, Labour Party members because it's a bar, so we're not respecting people's culture that don't drink alcohol and so on and so forth. My sister doesn't drink; she goes in the bar and drinks coffee, you know. But it's actually a really diverse hub in the community in Grangetown in Cardiff. You meet all kinds in there, all ages, all ethnicities, all religions. It's a really good. Great place. We've got great candidates as well. Sash Patel, really, you know, good fella. Not in it for the money. He said if he does get elected, he wants to donate most of it to Propel to give us a boost. And yeah, that's really good to hear. But it's good just to be out campaigning, just talking about politics because we can all moan, as I do frequently, my wife says. But in terms of just engaging with people and well, if you made decisions, what would you do? I mean, you know, I'd love to just have a chat about positive politics, really. You know, what we can do as people if we get to make decisions. Because I was brought up in the 70s and the 80s, and for me, politics was always a way of finding solutions. Whereas now, I think it's a career gravy train. Maybe it was naive in the past. I don't think so. I think there's been a big switch. In Wales, in particular, because we've got a new class of people. There's a whole bureaucracy, really, who profit from the Welsh devolution settlement, from the Welsh Parliament. So you leave university, you work for a politician, you become a politician, you know, bugger all about real life, in my opinion, because you're contained in the bubble. But because you work for or are in an established party, an established brand in terms of marketing, you've got a guaranteed career. So what we're about is breaking that. And I mean, if any independent standard in England and or anywhere really and want a bit of advice, you know, get in touch. You know, if I've got time, I'll definitely answer. Because winning election campaigns, it's not rocket science, but it is a science. It does involve a lot of work. We do it from a very grassroots perspective. I was chatting with a fellow last night, had a really good chat on some things we didn't agree. And we ended the conversation by saying that he may vote for us. But he'll probably vote for me in the next Welsh Parliament elections, which was really nice to hear, given we disagreed. And I suppose really we were looking at, you know, how what would we do? And I said, well, what about housing? Big housing shortage in Wales, everywhere really. It's a nightmare to try and get affordable housing. So what we have in Wales, I think, as in many other places, a big public sector pension funds. So I was having a random conversation one night, believe it or not, and it did involve this. It was single malt whiskey this time, and the person was he had £2 billion to manage. Unbelievable, you know, sometimes the kind of people you meet. And what he said to me was they were investing it in rented accommodation because they will have an immediate return on the rent. The assets will accrue in value, and if they sell the asset, they're going to make a lot of profit for the pension fund. And I'm thinking, well, why don't we do that in the public sector? So Propel's policy is that we use a percentage of the pension funds in Wales to build houses, renovate houses, house people with a reasonable rent, making a profit still. If people want to buy their properties, we agree with allowing people to buy their properties, to get on the property ladder, so there is an inheritance for the children, the grandchildren, and so on. And then, I mean, the pension fund makes a profit. It makes perfect common sense. That's one of our policies. I was talking about tax as well, and the person I was speaking to was on the left, really, like me. And what I was saying was, well, what we should do in Wales is abolish the very top rate of tax. Because a very, very small amount of people pay it. And actually, most of them are in the public sector with politically connected jobs. But if we abolish the very top rates, what would happen then? Those with, I would say, high net worth people in England would move into Wales. And by cutting the tax, we'd make a bloody profit. So I think, you know, what we're looking at with Propel is a common sense way of what have we got? How can we improve it? And let's go forward and talk about that with the public. Health service. I mean, let doctors make decisions. That is not rocket science either. And it doesn't happen here. It's an absolute
No.
disaster. Same as education. Listen to teachers. Listen to frontline teachers. I used to be a
Well,
teacher
you
in my first
see on
life.
the base
On the basis of grassroots feedback, obviously you've been out canvassing, and we've got to take a little headline break, Neil, just for 30 seconds. When we come back at the other end, you know, a lot of the policies that have been forced upon the Welsh, you know, under Drakeford, especially for the one thing in particular that sticks out is this 20 miles per hour thing. I've seen interviews done last week. No one, and I don't think anybody, nobody in Wales is happy with that. And I mean, nobody, 500,000 people signed a signature, say that they weren't happy with that, brought it. That was more than the amount of people that voted for Drakeford in the last election, actually opposed his policy. And he still brushed it off and said it's something it's something you'll have to get used to. Something you'll have to get used to. You know, which is not the way to approach. It's not the way to approach something like that. So I want to get some kind of feedback from you. I've got to take this little break. But what have people been saying to you? What have they been saying to you as you've been out and about to do with what is the legacy of Drakeford, for example, in the area that you're in? So we'll do that when we come back at the other side of this break here on TNT, Today's News Talk.
Question. Huh? What are you guys doing today?
The news.
TNT Radio News.
Sounds good.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. A hailstorm has wiped out a solar farm in Texas, highlighting the perils of swapping traditional power sources for vulnerable green alternatives. Police are investigating the motive behind a mass stabbing in the United States, and there's outrage in Australia after it was revealed a women's soccer team who dominated an all-women's tournament in Sydney, winning every game they played, only did so because they had five biological males on their side.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa.
Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
Yes, indeed. Talking with Neil McAvoy from Propel Wales. And you can follow them, by the way, at Propel Wales if you use the X or the Twitter platform. And they also have a website, very simple, propel.wales. You can go on there, you can see their manifesto, you can see what these guys are all about. Neil, talking about grassroots feedback, and talking about the legacy that Drakeford has left, and we'll also touch on his replacement, Vaughan Geffing. Out of the frying pan and into the fire potentially there. But before we get there, feedback. Seems to be it doesn't matter what the Welsh feedback is. It doesn't matter how many Welsh people are against things that are being brought in. The government just seems to ignore them. Is that going to be the case going forward under Geffing, do you think? You know, we brought up the example of the speed limit, the 20 miles per hour speed limit, which is insane to try and enforce that, to try and save money in accidents for the NHS to take care of, billions over years. Pain in the ass for everybody, without a doubt. But still, it's there. Is it going away anytime soon? Are they going to pay any attention to the drivers and the non-drivers in Wales? They're just going to keep bulldozing these policies through.
I think they think they're going to keep on bulldozing the policies through. But I think there's a gap now. People really hit. People are being fined for driving at 26 miles an hour. I mean, I think some of the politicians who voted for it maybe might have wanted to declare an interest, because I think Wales is the only country in the world now where you can curb crawl legally and slow right down, drive past people. That's what people are saying anyway, but I couldn't really comment about that. But I mean, it's really unpopular. I've got an A road near where I live, It's a four-lane road. Yeah, it's, it used to be sort of a highway out of the city, and it's 20 miles an hour. It's just four lanes. I mean, it's insane. And some of it's 30, and some of it's 20. And do you know what? I don't know whether it's going to be a health issue, because when I drive on it, my blood pressure raises or rises. And I think most people are just really annoyed by this. And I think Labour have got away with things in Wales because they've not really interfered too much in people's lives. And people have always blamed the Conservatives in London, whereas now it's these guys in Cardiff making decisions which are really affecting lives. And people are seeing that 20 miles an hour. We've got sex education, where a lot of people think some inappropriate things are being taught in terms of gender, and especially sex with the age of some children. I mean, some things I don't think they should be taught at a young age. I mean, seriously. But we haven't got the right in Wales now to withdraw our children from lessons. Alcohol is more expensive in Wales than anywhere else. There's a minimum minimum rate. And I mean, if the money went to education or maybe detox programs, fine. But the supermarkets and the shops make the profit. So there's no benefit for the public. You know, the sugar tax. I mean, I'm fed up with these very ordinary people who use a red stamp, Labour, running our lives. And I think that is starting to spread now. And I think that's the challenge for us as Propel, to get out there, to knock on doors, engage in social media, engage on platforms like this, and let people know what we stand for. Because we believe in individual freedom, community sovereignty, as you said, national sovereignty to Wales. But I put a caveat on the sovereignty thing, because with those clowns in Cardiff Bay in the Welsh Parliament, I wouldn't give them any more power whatsoever until we see a complete change of culture in Welsh politics. Drakeford's legacy, I mean, does he have one? Mm. I mean, I've really thought about this a lot. And one thing that he did, which I did agree with in 25 years context, was it 20, not 20, 20 years, I think it was he brought in automatic donation of organs, which I think is quite a good thing, personally. If you want to opt out, you can opt out. So I think that's the only policy that I've seen in, I think it's actually 20 odd years the man has pushed, which I agree with. Mm-hmm. He's caused chaos in NHS, ruined the ambulance service with his real disorganisation, mm-hmm. Very aloof, very arrogant, a fascist really in lockdown, mm-hmm. to be frank. Mm-hmm. And what we have here now is the way they turn the state against people. So if you're people used to call me a politician, but I feel more like a dissident. You know, you say things out loud, you think differently, you call it as you see it. And then you've got the South West Police knocking on your door, or the South West Police following you around the city, as happened with me. And then they try and prosecute you for stuff that you've not, I mean, 3-year investigations were nonsense, didn't go anywhere, didn't bother me, didn't give me any stress, to be honest, because it was supposed to do that. I was prosecuted once, acquitted for leaving my house. So I think I mentioned that on another broadcast. But this is the kind of Wales we live in where, I mean, clients, I'm an advocate by profession. I'm training to be a solicitor. And a number of clients tell me that they're warned by those in authority not to have me as an advocate. I mean, there was a junior member of staff in the Senedd who commented positively on my social media, was called in by a boss and told not to comment on my social media. I mean, you've got really micromanagement of lives in Wales. And it's not, I've got to be honest, Rick, it's not a nice place to live now. It really isn't. Yeah.
That's a shame, because I have two good friends are probably listening right now from Wales, actually, Wes and Angie. Both of them, they moved back over to Wales. Wes is a Welshman. He came and lived in Ireland for a while. He married this girl called Angie. They're out back in Wales again right now. And he's actually part of a group called Welsh War Group, Welsh Active Resistance, I think they're called. But anyway, him and his mates are very, very, how would you say, active when it comes to opposing some of these draconian policies that the government are bringing in. I know he's going to be listening now, so big shout out to him. But for example, just as we're wrapping this up, I've got this picture. What I'm taking away from this talk with you today, is, aside from all the crack that we've had, and it's been great fun talking to you, this four-lane highway of yours that you were talking about, and cars in rows going tootling down that at 20 miles per hour is insane. But that is the reality of what you're actually dealing with in Wales at the minute. And surely something has to give, Neil. I mean, people cannot continue to live like that without going literally insane. That is enough to drive people mad, especially if they're actually out on the roads at the minute. So as we just wrap this one up, I just want to thank you for the update on what you guys are doing in terms of your canvassing and what you're trying to achieve. And we will stay in contact and we will keep you getting back on, because it's nice to get the Welsh perspective on what's actually going on in Wales at the minute. So please, if you don't already do so, check out Propel Wales at Propel Wales. And also you can follow Neil on extra Twitter at Neil J. McAvoy, McEvoy, and check out the website propel.wales. So I just want to wish you well with whatever
you're doing. Thanks, Rick.
And hopefully your canvassing continues to go well and you see some good results for Propel Wales, but we will stay in touch and you can keep us updated. That is Neil McAvoy. So big thanks to you, my friend. Have a great day. Got to take a break now. And then Joe Allen is joining us from Tennessee. So stay tuned for that as we close off the show here today on TNT, Today's News Talk.
Sometimes life can be overwhelming. and suicide may seem like the only way to relieve the pain. Beyond Now is an evidence-based app created by Beyond Blue to help you cope when suicidal thoughts start to appear. You can use it to create an easy-to-follow plan that is personal to you and includes steps like know your warning signs so you can act early, make your environment safe by removing harmful items, activities you can do or people you can be with to distract yourself from suicidal thoughts, reminders of things that make you feel strong. Some of these steps might be tough to fill out, and that's okay. It can be helpful to make or share your safety plan with a trusted friend, family member, or mental health professional. You might feel like you're alone, but help is available. If you're worried you can't stay safe, use the red telephone icon to call your emergency contacts. Download the free Beyond Now app today to create your personal safety plan.
On a virtual road, you can test the limits of your driving ability to see how fast you can go under the most extreme conditions, like when it's dark, when the weather's bad, or when the unexpected happens. The higher the speed, the harder the impact. But driving isn't a game or a race. When you're on the road, just 10 miles per hour over the limit can mean the difference between life and death. You're responsible for people's lives and your own. Slow down and save lives.
Informative and engaging. Rick Munn. Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, it's Thursday, the 20th of March, 2024, for one day only. And I'm happy to be joined again this morning by my old sparring partner from Tennessee, the one and only Joe Allen. It's been about, six, 7 months since I last spoke to him. I think I was the first person he spoke to as he was launching his magnum opus, Dark Eon, a study of transhumanism and AI. Joe is a transhuman editor for The War Room, Steve Bannon's War Room. He focuses in on pandemic, tech, religion, heterodox, skeptic, and all that. Joe, welcome back. How the hell are you today?
Rick, not bad. Beautiful morning, as always. It reminds me of my first interview with you at pre-dawn in those days. These are leisurely times.
Yeah, and it's also, I believe, the first time our lovely viewers, now we have viewers, not just listeners, viewers, have actually seen you because you used to do the old lights off graveyard shift interviews. And of course, you had the camera off. I can understand that completely. You were probably under the duvet as you were speaking to me, but not anymore. We're back into more civilized time zones so we can talk again. Joe, listen, I want to talk to you about various things that are happening in the world. Things are moving along at a breakneck speed. You obviously focus in on certain areas in particular, although you cover a lot of things aside from the tech, transhumanism, AI business. But that's something that's dominating the headlines at the minute, especially along the lines of deep fakery. Now, it's surprisingly easy to deep fake stuff, even if you're not really a techie. We had a video released last week, allegedly, of Kate Middleton, the Princess of Wales, addressing people from a park bench. That was pulled apart by experts to say it's probably a deep fake. It's not even her. Other people just stuck Meghan Markle's face on hers, had her delivering the same message. How do we detect what is real and what's not these days? And are they releasing stuff out there that's actually pretty crap when it comes to the quality? They haven't really put a lot of effort into it. Is it to get people to act like they're some kind of amateur sleuths in this, that they've cracked, you know, the code and they've broken open the deep state and they're some kind of geniuses? Is it to stroke their egos? Or what's the game plan here?
What the game plan is, I would say I'm not sure. I think it's more accurate to say that there are probably many, many game plans. There are as many game plans as there are people who are willing to resort to BS to enact their agenda. The first thing I want to say about deepfakes is that this really is just an extension of an age-old problem. We've always had lies and liars. And that layer of BS is quite thick at this point. And above that, for the last century and a half plus, there has been a more concerted effort to use radio than television, than computer systems, so on and so forth, social media, to disseminate propaganda. And so we've got advertisements I would also include in that, by the way. And so we've got the layers of BS and the layers of propaganda already. And the deepfake is basically just a cherry on top of that mountain of dung. So what we're looking at, by and large, with deepfakes is, as far as I can see, just the early phase of it. And so it's not that difficult to identify a deepfake if you're really looking at it. You know, the AI has a lot of different tells. You can see certain distortions in the visual images. There are oftentimes just critical thinking can get you there. You just think, well, would this person really have said this on camera? You know, would the princess really be sitting in this place wearing the same shirt? These sorts of things. That will at least get you past this first layer. But I think about some of the deepfake comedy that we saw even, you know, last year. And that's especially the audio, like the vocal deepfakes are really, really convincing. In fact, it's quite possible, and I'm not saying this is the case, but it's quite possible that literally everything that you hear on the radio is fake. I don't think that that's the case, but you wouldn't really know. And that's one of the real problems we face as we move into an age of more and more sophisticated deepfakes. The only way you can know if it's fake for sure, beyond your critical thinking, but if it gets past that barrier, is either to use AI software to pick apart the pixel by pixel, or, you know, second by second, the audio clip, to find anomalies that are telltale signs of a deepfake. There are a number of software platforms available. They charge. And it really, the ones that I have witnessed run, they're not necessarily all that effective. I've seen them label obviously real videos as fake. So there's a real problem there. And then, of course, you have, as you just mentioned, the experts. And at least one of the game plans that is being rolled out right now, and we saw it in full blast during the pandemic, is to consolidate power and authority around those institutions which have traditionally commanded power over the information landscape. The New York Times, Wall Street Journal, U.S. government, U.K. government. These are the experts. And so in this wild west of, you know, fake videos and lies and more lies and bots, who do you turn to? Well, of course, you have those authorities to tell you what is and isn't real. And I think that that's probably one of two major problems that we face: the increased consolidation of authority and power over the information landscape. The other one is the flip side of that: people whose heads are full of BS, propaganda, and increasingly, you know, digital fakery.
Yeah, there's something else that I've noticed just as an observer, because, you know, you're an observer, you travel around the country, you move around, you observe stuff happening. Probably, you know, you're seeing things moving at an increased rate. I always look at velocity and trajectory. I'm a big believer in looking at velocity and trajectory to see where we're going to end up. Like if you throw a rock with a certain amount of force and you see the arc that it's taking, you have a reasonable idea where that rock's going to end up. So I'm looking at the way all this tech business is going and the speed at which it's increasing, the velocity's high, and the trajectory that it's going, it's not going in a good way. AI, for example, one thing I've noticed, and this is non-scientific, but when I watch YouTube, I am always spammed with two ads, just two ads, one of which is for Grammarly, which is this program that was introduced a year or two ago to increase your comprehension and writing skills. If you basically are a lazy writer or you never really spent any time at comprehension in school, this computer program will step in and fix it. They're now introducing an AI aspect of that, where you click a button and say, be nicer, or be more forceful, or be more to the point. It will remove your words around at the click of a button to make you sound more sociable or more, you know, authoritarian, or whatever it happens to be at the click of a button. That's Grammarly introducing AI to their first wave of ads. The other one is, there's this guy, this English guy, who's a trader. He's a stock market trader called Greg Secker, okay? And he's been spamming me. I don't know why I keep getting his ads on YouTube, but now it's moved past join my trading course to we now have an AI arm to our trading course. You just have to click a button and AI will scan the trades for you, make you lots of money. You only have to work for 5 minutes a day. Leave it to AI. We'll make everything all right. Can you see a progression, this, or even an incremental creep, that things that have been already seeded to us to make our life easier are now being enhanced by AI add-ons to this, and people are actually sucking it up? They think, yeah, if I can click a button and it sculpts my wording and it takes away all my spelling mistakes, why would I put any effort into doing something like that? Let the AI do it for me.
Yeah, we are definitely being enhanced. Big air quotes on that. That is unfolding, and I don't see that stopping, barring, you know, a solar flare or a nuclear war or a massive cyber attack that shuts everything down. And, you know, there is no way to predict these sorts of unpredictable catastrophes. So there's no way to say with 100% certainty which direction and how quickly that rock really is going. But when you see these sorts of things being rolled out, one of the most popular, the one that's really being sucked up, is Copilot under Microsoft. And also, of course, GPT, the chatbot mm-hmm. that everyone has been talking about now for almost a year and a half. And there are many, many others that have come behind these frontier models. And it's just the information space is being flooded with, first off, the propaganda, this is here to enhance your life. And second off, the products of these chatbots, right? So it's unknown what percentage of the internet, let's just say a platform like X, is actually just bot generated. Kind of like with the deep fakes, but you can be sure that proportion has increased dramatically. Even if it's a human being just engineering prompts, that proportion has increased dramatically and will continue to increase. You'll probably remember the old conspiracy theory, the dead internet theory, that and it's been around for years, that everything on the internet is bot generated. Like every time you log on, you're just literally looking at a world of you know, synthetic information. I don't believe that was true when the theory was first rolled out. I do think that is increasingly true and will be increasingly true. Hmm. The three places that I see this being most important, and this is maybe particular to me, are in education, in medicine, and in the military. So in education, you see this massive push to integrate AI, which is mainly kind of shorthand for chatbots, although there are a number of other applications and types of AI. But in education, you hear Bill Gates, Sam Altman, Eric Schmidt, Sal Khan of Khan Academy, all of them advocating for every child on Earth to have an AI tutor, meaning that you know, the kind of e-learning hybrid education environment is going to be increasingly dominated by digital minds that are kind of companions for children in this relationship with artificial intelligence. Kids basically looking at it as an authority figure, as a friend, as a companion. This is going to, in my opinion, increase dramatically. It has already been implemented. It will increase dramatically. It may not be every child on Earth. I don't think that that's going to happen, but it will be enough that it will fundamentally alter the way that children of today think on into adulthood. And that is, to me, quite terrifying. In medicine, there are so many different applications for AI. You know, this is just, you know, again, adding on to an infrastructure that has been increasingly digital for the last 3-4 decades. But with AI, you know, there's the large language model approach. Doctors trying to diagnose a disease, they turn to various large language models to come to arrive at a diagnosis more quickly. A big problem with that, of course, is atrophy. The doctors become less and less adept at their job. And then there are many, many others. You know, AI is used to surveil the body through the Internet of Bodies, different devices, in order to create a digital twin so you can manipulate the actual body on the basis of that model. And of course, automated surgery, you know, automated devices such as pacemakers, makers, cochlear implants, so on and so forth. All of this is being integrated into biomedicine, basically, pushing us more and more towards a kind of cyborg culture. And then in the military, everybody knows, target acquisition and surveillance is being raked over by AI, increasingly in Ukraine and also Israel and places like this, where you have hot wars. You see autonomous weaponry being used, drones, whether they be land or aquatic or, of course, the aerial drones. And what we hear out of Ukraine right now is that these weapons are potentially fully autonomous, meaning no human being has to be in the loop. They tell us that there are human beings in the loop. We're assured a human is always watching to make sure the machine is killing the right people at the right time. But we're also being told that at any time you could take a human out of the loop. And one must assume that if it hasn't happened with frequency already, that that's around the bend. So we're being enhanced. We are becoming AI, human AI symbiotes, at least our compatriots are. I like to think that you and I are safe because of our moral indignation and technophobia, but here we are speaking across the pond via digital technology, so maybe not.
And being listened to by them, no doubt about them. It either. That's what I want to take. I want to try and bring this around full circle, Joe, because I started off asking you about deep fakery, and I brought up, for example, just the one example of Kate Middleton and this. There were some, I don't know if you know the story, but before that video was released, there were some really badly photoshopped images that were released, allegedly, that she took and claimed that she badly photoshopped them. Then they were all withdrawn by the national press. Scorn was poured upon it. This is obviously fake. Issued an apology, and then they released this video. But anyway, the point that I'm getting to is this. So many people have been tying themselves in knots, and I mean knots, Gordian knots, over the last week or two, trying to get to the bottom of this business with Kate Middleton. This is just one example. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm getting older and, I'm a cynical little Irishman, but I just see so much time and effort, I believe, being wasted on so-called deep dives into certain things. And I believe you should pay a passing interest in what's going on in the world. It would be ignorant of us not to pay attention to what's happening. But some people are getting consumed by getting to the bottom of the rabbit hole. And, I've been thinking about this, and people have been down the rabbit hole, but no one ever comes out with the rabbit. All they come out with is a face and a pocket full of dirt, and no one's actually caught the elusive rabbit yet. And I want to direct people your way because you released something that really struck a chord with me last night when I read it on the X or Twitter platform. And you can follow Joe, by the way, at JoeBot, JoeBotXYZ. And it just said, conspiracy fatigue. Now, I'm not going to read through the whole thing, but it's a great little written piece that you put up there to say it would be so easy if an apex cabal could be identified and neutralized, problem solved. Instead, it's more like evil minion whack-a-mole. This will be a perpetual battle to the end of time. And that's what I feel we're doing. We're playing whack-a-mole with all these conspiracies. And even if we do get to the bottom of them and we do get to the truth and we do catch the rabbit, then what? Is it going to pay your rent? Is it going to keep your mental health in check? I don't know, man. I just think we're being played on an almighty scale here. And I have fallen down that hole a little bit, although I'm still hanging onto the edge of the hole and dragging myself back out of it. Be aware, but don't be consumed. That's kind of my mantra at the minute. Am I being too complacent?
No, look, everyone is going to be different. And I think that especially very curious people are very attracted to conspiracy theories because they're exotic and they aid the mind in the constant quest to piece together all of this disparate information. So I actually encourage people to go down, if you have the brains and the guts, to go down every rabbit hole available to you. But as you say so well, very rarely do you come back out with a rabbit. You may come out with a lot of scabs and cuts, but you rarely come out with a rabbit. Sometimes it's not true. In fact, you know, certain crimes, conspiracies, end up being, you know, adjudicated. You end up in the courts, and the, you know, justice is served. You know, I, for whatever reason, I've been thinking recently about the Rosenbergs, and you know, the American spies, basically domestic spies, that transferred nuclear technology from the U.S. to Russia. A vast conspiracy. Many thought it was a Jewish conspiracy because was Julius and Edith or Ethel. You know what? Let's just forget their first names. But the Rosenberg couple, they were Jewish, and so many people said, okay, well, you can see clearly the Jews want to transfer American secrets to the Soviets. Another conspiracy, the communists. But it's intriguing. The judge who sentenced the Rosenbergs was also Jewish. Sentenced them to death, and so you know, I guess this illustrates a couple of different things. One, that the conspiracies are real. That people do conspire all the time, constantly. Your neighbors are conspiring, probably against you right now. But it doesn't always. Things are not always as they seem.
They're not. You know what? We're defeated today by time. I could talk to you for most of the morning, probably into the afternoon, but I can't because I have to vacate my post right now and boot you off as well while we make room for the next person to come along. But Joe Allen, absolute legend. Follow him on X or Twitter at JoeBotXYZ and buy his book, Dark Aeon, fantastic tome on transhumanism and AI. Joe, listen, we'll stay in contact. We usually exchange great music over the internet ourselves. So good tunes are coming your way. Got to get off now. TNT Radio, stay tuned. More incoming on Locked and Loaded. Bye.